BBC
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads.
Hello, here is the podcast for Tuesday the 13th of November. It's the Scott Mills Daily. A really good one today. Best guest ever, Adam Richman of Man vs Food. A lovely guy. You'll enjoy this interview. We also made him some incredible sandwiches as well. More real or no real, facts you can impress your mates with and ones that are made up. And Rihanna off of Films gets wet once again on Innuendo Bingo. Enjoy it.
BBC Radio 1.
And we are very excited to announce that Adam Richman is in the building.
Thank you for having me on.
This is the best, isn't it?
Right, okay.
Simply put, this
is... pound it up.
I'm not being funny, Adam, but we've had some huge guests in here. We've like Rihanna, Lady Gaga. He has not been this excited.
Well, you know, when's the last time you saw Rihanna eat a five-pound burrito?
Well, there is that thing.
Is
true.
You know, exactly that.
There is that. He was saying, I can't sing Umbrella worth a damn, so it's like,
he was just saying, basically, he's got a medal, an imaginary medal, hanging around his neck for all that food he's eaten. Permanently.
Thank you.
It's like winning a gold all the time.
You know what I feel? It's my little champion-like moment.
Yeah. So you've got Man v Food Nation, which
Correct.
Is on Food Network at the moment. So have you retired from eating now? Do you not do it anymore?
Well, not from eating entirely. I would like to continue living. But you know, the thing is doing challenges. Honestly, people thought that it was because of, you know, God forbid, a health problem I had. Truly, it was just how much of the same guy doing the same stuff can anybody watch before it becomes tedious? And I think spectacle just diminishes over time. Plus, wherever I would go, people say, oh, you got to get my brother on. Oh, you have no idea how much I could eat, or my sister, or whatever.
Yeah, a lot of people do that.
They do. And they, like, literally, Heathrow, the guy, like, who's actually at Passport Control, was like, you have no idea how much I could eat. And I was like, I don't, but can I have my passport back? You know? And the truth is, you know, I'm a guy from Brooklyn. How could I know about a challenge in Amarillo, Texas, if thousands of people hadn't attempted it? So this is a chance to sort of give them glory and give them a chance in the spotlight to be a champion.
Do you think you've eaten everything now?
No, I haven't. In fact, today, just hours ago, I had my very first jelly deal. And last night, I had my first Yorkshire pudding.
You did?
I did. I am no longer... My Rules restaurant took my Yorkshire pudding virginity. And like a slattern on prom night, it ruined me. But jellied eels, I think that may be a one and done for
me.
Did
you just have one? Or did you clear them out of jelly
eels? No. I literally had one. And I was felled like a mighty oak. That was an interesting acquired taste.
And what were your thoughts on the Yorkshire?
It was good. It was actually like an inverted popover. It was because I had gotten... steak and kidney pudding, because I understood that Rules was known for it, and I hadn't had that. That was my first as well. Mm. But the Yorkshire pudding was fascinating. It was very reminiscent of a popover, but the bottom was almost like chewy, like gnocchi or like a pasta. It was really fascinating.
Just the one, though, was it?
Yeah, not even a full one, because I was contending with a pie. They just said, Adam's never had one. Could you bring one out?
And they're like, oh, God, you must get that all the time. Bring him some more food.
Oh, my God, ridiculous. But, you know, then my New York jury comes in, and it's like, well, dude, I'm only paying for one.
Yeah, exactly. So also running on Food Network at the moment is the best sandwich in America with Adam Richman.
Exactly.
Where you go around and you just visit each region and there's like a big hour-long battle to decide what America's best sandwich is.
What it is essentially, so the title's Adam Richman's Best Sandwich in America because it's solely my opinion. Mm. You know, I'm not a burning bush. I'm just the TV presenter. And so we did it kind of like the Karate Kid board. We went region on region. I pick two for every region. A celebrity picks the third. And then we just eliminate. And so by the end of every episode, we eventually have regional winners. And then there's this big one-hour finale where they kind of go head-to-head-to-head. And it's kind of cool because you see it, you know, a lobster roll against a cheesesteak, against a deli sandwich or a chicken sandwich. It's really kind of fascinating. It was a labor of love because I love sandwiches. Mm. I truly believe that it is, at its core, your imagination bound by two pieces of bread. And, you know, my gosh, the word sandwich comes from here in the UK, so I'm hoping that at least we'll get some traction.
We've made our own, which we won't talk about right now. We'll do that
I've
in
heard.
A minute. But, we have got some good ones. We've taken time and care over this. Now, obviously, with the challenges that you're doing on Man v Food Nation, I mean, can anyone do it? I mean, could Chris here potentially be a challenger?
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. If we were still filming, I think he would be an absolutely terrific challenger. Mm. I mean, truly, that was the thing. We had every walk of life. We had a little 95-pound girl attempt a conch fritter eating challenge in the Florida Keys, a firefighter, a professional wrestler, a weatherman, a rodeo roper. I mean, literally, the baker, the candlestick maker, everybody.
Everyone. Now, we did do a little challenge with Chris at the Edinburgh Festival this year.
Oh, really? Mm.
Now, would you like to explain what happened, Chris?
Well, it wasn't the best night for me. It was a weird situation where I was going to try and break the world record for eating the most amount of chicken nuggets in 3 minutes.
Oof.
Which was something like 22, 23, which I thought sounded achievable.
When you say it sounds low, I think.
Yeah, 22, 23 sounds very... In 3 minutes? Yeah.
In 3 minutes,
are you allowed to do multiple ones at a time?
I think it was one at a time and no drink.
Sauce.
And no sauce, that was it. But we've got a video of it here. Okay. It didn't really go the best for me, to
the
be
idea
honest.
Was that he would win a date with a girl called Emily Atack. Have you seen The Inbetweeners?
I'm familiar with The Inbetweeners, but I don't want to lie and say...
Well, she
like...
plays Charlotte Big Jugs. Mm. And
I'm already seeing this as a viable incentive.
Yeah. So you can see
I only
why.
Won T-shirts, right. So you have a better incentive.
Anyway, well, just the lovely Scousy for Girls, a band, played music at the same time. But I'll just show you this now. So 22 was his goal.
I got no live music during challenges.
Yeah, we had a band playing and everything.
Chew, damn it, chew.
I know. Chew it.
The thing is, in Man vs. Food Nation, the premiere episode, at least when it aired in the U.S., was in New Haven, Connecticut. Our challenger had the similar dilemma. When you have too much in your mouth, you still
Thank
need to
you.
Be able to swallow. This sounds very, very provocative, and I do mean chicken nuggets, but I do think that just quite literally, you have to still, once you start choking down food, it's so unpleasant, no matter what you swallow subsequently, it actually hurts.
Right.
It hurts, you know, to actually put it down because you put so much stress.
You see, one believes that I found that so difficult, but it was the heat. It was. Yeah. I tried to get them all, and they congealed into a ball.
Well, also having that young lady jamming them into your mouth, as hot as she is, that doesn't make any sense at all.
Right.
But again, it was usually just me and my ugly mug, and not like a hot blonde in an itty bitty skirt.
So we're saying that the method was wrong.
I just think that, believe it or not, slow and steady still will win the race.
Right. Okay. How many did you manage to do?
The world record was 22. I think I needed.
Yeah.
7.
No.
I had a mare.
Was it that many?
I think
7 in 3 minutes?
Yeah.
I think you can empathise with me in the sense that that is not a natural environment when you look at that video.
No, it's not, but 7?
Oh, please don't question my manhood.
No, I'm not questioning your manhood. I can tell from the stubble on your
my
chin
hero.
That you are macho. No, I'm just saying that what's really tough is you also have that gigantic clock upstage and a camera.
Yeah.
I mean, I did the live special in Miami, and I have to say for me, I said, this is going to be an undertaking, and to do a 48-ounce steak in something like 20 minutes or something like that on a live studio audience from where the Super Bowl was being held. So I trained for that like Rocky. I mean, I had everything but like theme music.
During the show, what was the thing that kind of hurt the most, or the most unpleasant experience?
The one spicy challenge I lost for me experientially was... I lost one spice challenge out of all 59 challenges I undertook, and it was in Sarasota, Florida, at a place called Munchies 420 Cafe. No drug illusions there whatsoever. And the thing is, the owner, his microphone was still open, and we heard him say, let's just pour the whole bottle in. And he put 3 to 4 times as much ghost chili extract in the sauce as he normally does, which is not only stupid because it's not the actual challenge, but it's dangerous. In fact, they've weaponized ghost chili extract in India. Police carry ghost chili extract in their grenades.
What?
And so, I mean, the thing is, it not only was disgusting taste-wise, but incredibly dangerous. And without question, the absolute worst challenge, one I would tell people never to attempt.
What is worse, heat or quantity?
It depends. If the quantity is a lot of starch, it sucks. Heat always hurts. I mean, it's just pain. You just have to sort of put your brain in a place where you feel other than... And I tend to like spicy food anyway.
I remember seeing the chicken one where you had to kind of go into a big open freezer.
Oh, yeah, that was awful. That was in Santa Clara. And because you had to actually leave the sauce on your face. It's like it's going to replace waterboarding. There's sauce on your face. You had to lick your fingers, and then you had to wait for 5 minutes. And literally, this sweet little girl came over with a popsicle, and I had to do my Obi-Wan Kenobi. She's like, "You want a popsicle?" And I was like, "These are not the droids you're looking for." And I literally, I just went like this, and I remember from doing this to get the sauce off, I had rubbed it into my hands, and so I was trying to sign autographs afterwards, and I just bending my hands just sucked. I sat there like signing like a third grader. I was like, can't I just do a thumbprint of sauce or blood or something? Like, I'm in a bad way, bro.
And also, fair play. I think it was something like 180 oysters, was it?
100, yeah, well, I guess 15 dozen. So I suck at math. But
yeah, same.
I think it's 180. Is that right?
That is incredible.
Yeah,
I can't do one.
You know what was messed up is that I was dating a girl when Man vs. Food began, and we had a really rotten breakup, and I was reeling with the feeling, and you know, my crew was always, come on, Adam, go out, you know, and the show hadn't aired yet, so I still had some kind of degree of anonymity, which was quite nice. And I met this, we were down in New Orleans, and I met this really sweet girl, and we started talking, and this guy, who I guess had been at the challenge, walks by, goes, careful, girl, he just had 180 oysters tonight. And I was like, man, really, you got to put me on blast like that? Can a brother get a hug, a little bit of squeezing, a little bit of loving? Come on now.
One more thing I want to say before we give you, we present to you our sandwiches, which you don't have to eat, I wouldn't advise it. Most of the messages on Facebook and on our Twitter and on our texts are girls saying how hot you are and wanting to marry you.
This is surreal to me.
But it happens a lot. Hang on, I had a really good one earlier. La-la. There we are. This is from Ginny, who says, I'm actually in love with Adam. I'm sure he is the man I'm supposed to marry. The way he eats pork makes me feel funny in my tummy.
Yeah.
Well, being
he's in Newcastle. Not that that's a bad thing, I'm just saying that's where she is.
You see, you've got this rare thing where girls obviously love you and fancy you, and blokes just want to be you and be your mate.
And there's only three people on earth who have that.
Who are the other ones?
David Beckham.
Okay.
And Pitbull.
Yeah.
Secretly, Jess, I've always wanted to be able to do reggaeton. It's true.
Mr. 305, Mr. Worldwide. Like, how can you argue with that?
Of course. I mean, he's named after a savage attack dog.
Yeah,
which is,
I want to be him.
Yeah, no,
and you.
You can't hate on it. Yeah, and even Lindsay Lohan, you know, begrudgingly probably likes him.
Yeah.
But no, I, you know, she's like, I hate the lyric, but I love the music. I can't juxtapose it, or you bald Latin songster. No, my, you know, the thing is for me, you know, people have said that to me in a couple interviews today, and I'm flummoxed. You know, I like Biggie said, you know, same number, same hood, it's all good. I live in the same place I did when I was on unemployment. I, you know, haven't changed my number. I still live in the same building, same area. You know, my boys, still my boys from before. And so it's the impact of the show alone, you know, the fact that I'm successful is kind of bananas. But to get the you know, these things, people saying, oh, you're a heartthrob, it doesn't feel like that, I have to say. So it's very flattering. But sometimes I think that people use the anonymity of the internet to say a lot of stuff that they may not necessarily do in person.
I don't know.
I love you.
Up top, bro.
That's awkward.
Up top.
No,
there we go.
No, but he genuinely does.
That's okay, man. I wish I knew how to quit you and chicken nuggets at the same time.
Chris was considering bowing down when you came into the room. It's a bit odd. It's a bit weird. Right, a couple of questions from our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
How did you used to prepare for a task? That's from Beavis on Twitter. Like, is there a way of doing that, or did you just got to go for it?
Well, good question, Beavis. You know, I think when I was doing the quantity challenges, I would make sure I was empty. Sometimes I would do a cleanse ahead of time. Leg workouts and back workouts and sprint intervals morning of, because your leg and your back are your largest muscle groups. You can create a bigger caloric deficit. And then sprint, where I would sometimes travel with a jump rope just to get my metabolic rate as high as I could. Minimal hydration. So I wanted to come in. You always want to come in a little bit dehydrated and let the moisture of the food sort of go into your body tissue, and you have too much moisture. Like if you have a sandwich or a burger, every bit of moisture is going to make that bun just expand and turn into utter sludge. And also, I urge practicing a safe challenge and using a condiment. And flavor fatigue is a very real thing. And changing up the flavor is key.
This is legendary.
We could just do this for the next hour, and I would be happy.
This is my favorite ever.
Have you ever...
no, it's up top.
Don't say where, if it was a place, but Mike on Twitter says, have you ever had really awful food poisoning from the places you've been
to? No, I've never ever had food poisoning. there have been some spicy dishes where just quite simply because of how intense they are on your system, you know, your stomach will just gurgle for a much, much longer period of time. There's a delicious, delicious restaurant in Nashville, Tennessee called Prince's Hot Chicken, and it's a spicy fried chicken, and it's amazing, and there's different variants on it. So most people do the mild or the medium, and I'm, you know, a schmuck, so I had to do like the one that's incendiary. But I lived in the American South for about a third of my life, and I love honey on fried chicken, and honey on the spicy fried chicken was great, except I don't know what they were brining it in or whatever, but the spice was so intense that no matter what you eat, it's just, you're like, ooh, ooh. Like, cause everything is going to react to it because it's just so caustic in your system. Oh. So I haven't had food poisoning, but just sometimes you have to like go, you know what, as much as I want to go have burgers with my boys, I'm going to keep it very mellow, and I'm going to do a bowl of oatmeal and an egg white omelet.
Yeah. And not, you love sushi, too.
I love sushi quite a bit.
And you're a chef of sushi.
I did. That's the only formal training I've had, is how to make sushi.
Incredible. That's so good. And
good for dates.
Yes. Mark Swan and loads of other people. Like, the biggest question, would you ever do, like, a UK version?
I want to do programming in the UK. I'm not going to do any more food challenge-based programming, simply, again, because I do believe that it's just time to do something new. You know, 59 challenges on Man vs. Food, 26 episodes of Man vs. Food Nation, 20 of the Carnivore Chronicles, Best Sandwich is 10
plus a finale.
You've
proven yourself,
finale.
Haven't you?
Yeah.
But it's
like
also,
you said, you've got that medal.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is also, I pride myself on trying to make the inaccessible accessible, and I want to create new content for my fans. I'm a tremendous footy fan. My family hails from Leeds, and you know, I love it here. There's definitely an Anglophilic sensibility to the way I live my life, and that which I listen to, and that which I, you know, follow sport-wise. And so I want to come over here, but what I would love to do is showcase some of the great regional dishes around. So to go to Cornwall for pasties, have Scouse in Liverpool, oatcakes in Stoke, whatever. But also I want to get a chance to explore my dream for next year and next season to the show. I want to actually explore the crossroads of sport and food, and also the great gatherings. So whether it's a Dungeons and Dragons convention or Lebowski Fest or what they're serving at Craven Cottage or Stamford Bridge, or Yankee Stadium, I think that I want to actually explore food at sporting venues, food at our great gatherings, and tailgate culture, because that's, again, accessible. I don't want to become the snooty foodie, because that just sucks. The moment that something as simple and beautiful as just great food and serving it to someone you care about becomes inaccessible, we're all hopelessly screwed.
I love him.
I love you too.
Yeah. Okay, right. We're now going to present our sandwiches, which we've made today, Adam.
Nice.
Okay. Now, which one should we do first? Chris is first, I think. So, Chris, talk us through it.
So I took, for my sandwich, I just went straight for my favourite ingredient, which I make this as stand anyway, but I've made a specially big one for you. It's bear-shaped crisps.
They have a brand name, but we're not going to say it.
Yes.
Okay.
And all I've done, quite simple here.
Oh, dear God.
I've layered it, and I've towered it high.
We're getting pictures of this for the Radio 1.
I want a picture for my phone.
Facebook.
I am literally taking a photo.
And the Twitter, you actually are.
Is this almost like the seal of approval?
It's remarkable. First of all, if I were carbo-loading for a marathon, there would be no other sandwich.
It's literally layer upon layer of bread with the crisps in between.
Yeah, it's crisps between bread. I could, if I were, there's enough carbohydrates here for me to run from here to Guam, which I think is nice. Wow. It's definitely got crunch. May I just have one of the bear-shaped crisps?
Yeah, sure. Be my honor.
Been sitting here a while, though, huh?
It's been, yeah, a couple of hours.
Yeah.
That was a bad choice. It just sums me up nicely as a sandwich there.
It does, in what way?
Simple.
Oh, okay.
All right, okay.
Fair enough. Well, I think for artistic merit, it definitely can't be beat. And I appreciate the chips. We have similar ones like that in America, so it's
well, they're the finest.
Nice.
It's made in your honor, sir.
Thank you very much, sir.
I think that maybe it could do with a little more kind of moisture.
Moisture's good. I would say color. Mm. Maybe some meat.
Yeah.
Or a vegetable.
Yeah.
Or a condiment, but it's still very, very clever.
Okay. Now, my one, I'm going to sell it to you. You don't want a sandwich that's just one part of your meal. This is the three-course meal in one sandwich. I present to you the whole meal sandwich. It's in wholemeal bread. And it's the classic British dinner, Adam.
Bring it.
See what he's done there?
By the way, I think that it's very funny because we feature a sandwich called the four-courser.
You do?
Enough. Yes, sir. Whoa.
Okay, so here. Yeah, I started at the we'll start at the bottom. There's a slice of bread. Then there's a chocolate gâteau. That's your pudding.
Yes, an entire chocolate
pudding
cake
there.
Is the bottom layer.
Yep.
Okay.
Then another layer of bread. Then the classic main course, bangers and mash.
Okay.
Then we've got another layer of bread. And then the prawn cocktail starter with Thousand Island dressing.
So you eat your way through, and then, oh, I see, so the top layer is your starter.
Yep. Middle is bangers and mash, the main course, and
then chocolate gâteau.
Your dessert at the bottom, and bread, more bread.
In wholemeal bread, it's healthy.
It's wholemeal, it's a whole meal.
It will move everything right along like British Rail. It is...
let's guess how many calories would be in that.
The chocolate gâteau alone, I'm going to go with, gâteau, I would say,
that portion, I'm probably, 1,000?
I'm probably, yeah, you wish. I think the cake alone is probably pushing 3,000.
No!
Why? You don't think so? With chocolate the starch and the fudge and whatever else is inside.
Yeah,
a little leprechaun with a pot of gold.
Yeah.
Then you got the bangers and you got mash and then you got four slices of bread. So the four slices of bread probably bringing it in roughly at about 640 calories.
Yeah.
Who knows what kind of sauce you're working with this prawns.
Yeah.
I think that we're dealing with probably something close in the 55 to 6,000 calorie range.
6,000 calories for my sandwich.
I think so, just because of the meat, because meat has more calories. But you know, you have a cake in your sandwich, man.
How cool
is that? I can sit there and try to be erudite and analyze it, but bro, you have cake and mashed potatoes in a sandwich with sausage and shrimp.
As you'll see, like cakes are normally round, but what I've done is cut it to sandwich size.
Which I do for artistic merit alone. You are the Brian Boitano of sandwich construction. It is remarkable. I have to say, to make it fit the bread, and you know, to me, people, when I was doing press for Best Sandwich in America, people said, well, what makes a great sandwich? And I do think that it's the right ratio of condiment to meat to filling. But also, I don't want stuff falling out. I hate when, like, you're holding that bit of bread and condiment, you've eaten all the meat out, and you have this weird obligation. Do I finish it? Do I not? But for artistic merit alone, these things are really, really wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Are you proud of us?
Take a picture of mine.
I will take a picture. I wanted to do them together, but I will take
a picture of his. Take a picture of mine.
See, and you can take a picture of me taking a picture of his sandwich.
There we are. See?
No, that is actually not the gâteau.
We're on his phone. This is so good.
Best day of my life.
Right. Adam, thank you so much for coming to see us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, we need a winner.
Oh, winner, please. Winner.
Really?
Yeah, well, we've got a certificate as well.
Think about me. They're both
great. They're both equally sizable. They both are using nice indigenous flavors and local ingredients. But surely because of the variety of colors and textures, I am going to have to give it to the whole meal sandwich.
Scott Mills, whole meal sandwich wins. Thank you very much.
Scott.
I get a certificate, which will have a picture and everything in a minute.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Cheers.
We thought about this. Thank you very much.
No, absolutely. I wish I could give you a t-shirt and a picture on the Wall of Fame.
I know. Damn it. Adam, you've been an amazing guest. And don't forget to watch Man v Food Nation on the Food Network, which is his new show, and The Best Sandwich in America. It's all going on. And thank you for coming in. Please come and see us again soon.
I'd be honored.
Scott Mills,
ABC Radio. Right, let's do it.
It's Tuesday. It's 1:45. This is Innuendo Bingo.
Listen, I'm really sorry, but you can't watch Innuendo Bingo today because someone's run off with cameras in it. So you're going to have to go back to the old way of experiencing it just by listening, which for ages was perfectly acceptable. So let's bring those days back. Hi, Rihanna off films.
Hello.
All right?
Yeah.
It's a shame the cameras aren't on.
Yeah, gutted.
Right, what is that you're wearing, please?
It is my sexy yoga kit,
which is quite sexy.
There's a lot of baggy stuff going on right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this especially for this game you've decided to wear this?
Yeah, well, because last time you so took the mick out of me for wearing my safari trousers afterwards, so I thought I wouldn't even venture into those again.
Well, no, that was the emergency chinos, which they're like the ones that they give you when I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. And you only have to wear them if it's got really, really bad.
Yeah.
And they're quite big, aren't they? They're a big chino.
They're slightly... Yeah, I did not suit them. I think that's fair to say.
Not flattering for anyone, I don't think.
No.
So, fair play, you've come in your yoga kit today.
Which is probably less flattering.
No, it's good.
Yeah.
Chris is in his standard grey thing.
What, jeans and top?
Yeah. Just trying to paint the picture because they can't see you today.
Yeah, sure.
We're taking loads of photos, though, which will be up on the Facebook and Twitter and website later. Are we ready to play Innuendo Bingo? Get ready to witness the wetness.
Cheers.
Here we go.
Cheers. I like it, like cheers, like it's a pint.
Yeah.
Of water. Right. Mm. So, our first one.
Mm.
Cold, is it?
Mm.
Brain freeze.
Mm.
What?
Mm.
Oh, gone warmer now, hasn't it? Oh, it hasn't. It's got an ice cream headache.
Mm.
Okay. Now, Ian from Braintree sent this one in. Give yourself some points, Ian. When Gemma Kearney isn't playing Innuendo Bingo, she's definitely taking part.
That reminds me of when I was quite a lot younger, being on holiday with my mum and all her friends, all women. They were doing a bit of topless sunbathing, and the guy came to trim the hedges.
Rihanna spat all over Chris
I'm
there.
Sorry. Your face.
Right in my face.
Chris held well.
Yeah, but it always
right in my face,
goes up my own nose when I do that. Ugh. Sorry.
Good start. Thank you, Kearney.
I love Gemma.
Right, this one has been sent in by Pete. 250 points for you, Pete. I'm a celebrity. Look, it's Joe Swash, everybody. What's he suggesting here?
I just think you're doing a challenge. Because we might go down later and have a little munch.
You're both dribbling like dogs. You know them dogs when they slobber.
He didn't even need to say that last bit, did he?
No. Thanks, Wash.
We might go down later and have a little munch.
He took a lot of pleasure in saying munch.
I forget how much I miss Joe Swash sometimes. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, he should be on TV more, don't you think?
No.
Right. Okay, just me. All right, more water, please.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a classic from Bargain Hunt.
But for the benefit of the viewers at home, let's find out what the auctioneer thinks about Catherine's little nips.
That is a good one.
Classic.
Who's West?
I think it's the chair. I've got my legs quite wide.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Yes, you have.
It's a draw so far.
I can't touch the floor on this chair.
Okay.
You can't, can you? You're
no, I really can't.
You can't escape.
Stop talking.
Sorry.
All right. X Factor now. And what was Nicole Scherzinger thinking here?
You didn't just spread love. You sprayed it all over that stage, honey.
I missed that.
Thanks, Scherzinger. I don't know what that was. She on about?
Spraying the love.
Rylan.
You didn't just spread love. You sprayed it all over that stage, honey.
That's when she was wearing that 80s white power suit.
Oh, because that was really sexy.
Now, did you see it?
I think I missed most of that programme.
Normally, really good dresses. On this occasion, really not. And that was the week she decided to stand on the desk so we could see all of it. Trouser suit.
You were keen.
Not keen. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
More, please. More water. Luke in Cranley sent this in. And Nick Grimshaw here becoming more like Gillian McKeith.
We stole a stool off Tim Westwood many years ago, and ever since then.
Hello?
Sorry. I know that probably wasn't the bit. That was really funny.
Chris has still got his water in his gob.
He looks really bemused and annoyed.
Okay. Right. What water?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Rihanna.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try again.
We stole a stool off Tim Westwood many years ago, and ever since then, I can only sit on one of Westwood's stools.
She's gone again. Small water feature time. Chris has gone as well. Okay. Right, over to EastEnders now. Why is that funny? Now, we've all said this at some point. Especially you, Rihanna.
That was a great weekend.
Can hardly walk.
Say that. God! How did you know?
That was a great weekend.
Can hardly walk.
Right, more please. Oh, love you, Rihanna.
Mm-hmm.
And now, Trevor Nelson talking to Grimmy this morning. And we've all said this, especially Chris.
You know when you've got a massive job on?
That's not even one, but I like it. Oh, Trevor.
You know when you've got a massive job on?
Second time. That's in your hair, Rihanna.
I know.
Ha.
Thanks for the sympathy. I'm drenched now.
Yeah, you are.
I'm full on soaked.
Okay. More water, please. Mm-hmm. As we continue Tuesday's Innuendo Bingo on Radio 1. And the Archers is more like 50 Shades of Grey these days.
Plenty of breast for me, please, Matt. I'm not much of a leg man. Plenty of breast for me.
What? Everyone all right there?
Yeah.
I was trying to outstare Chris during that one. I think it worked.
We still haven't played the Deirdre Barlow one, have we?
This is horrid.
There's a really good Deirdre one which everyone sent in. Thank you if you have sent that in. Okay. You're all right, Rihanna. You look like in pain.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm fine.
This is horrid.
You're so cruel.
Right, come on then. More water. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jamie Oliver's back at it.
So just toss your pork around like this and then just give the pork a good old bash with your fist.
Right there, Chris?
Yeah.
I keep missing the payoff because the beginning bit is always so funny.
Yeah. Thanks, Jamie. Now, this is a good one. Okay. It's not often we go back in time. But it's a classic here from Murder, She Wrote.
I still can't believe I fell on my fanny in front of all those people.
Well, that's why they call it an exhibition.
Sorry. Oh, God, sorry.
I still can't believe I fell on my fanny in front of all those people.
That was such a non-one. Oh, God, I soaked the mic.
Don't say that on air. Oh, don't say that.
I didn't really.
No, the microphone is absolutely fine. Hello upstairs. Okay, next. That's American for bottom, by the way. Just to clarify. Okay, what's Rihanna wearing today, Bill Turnbull?
She's got a boffin coat on.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, Rihanna. Don't look at him like that.
It's fine.
You look scared.
Chris should look very scared right now.
That was a bad one.
That was right in the eyes.
Okay.
I'm interviewing David Tennant later today. I have to
darling.
Go
darling.
Darling.
You've changed.
I'm so excited.
Not in that yoga kit, hopefully. Actually, he might like that.
What are you talking about?
I need more water.
Okay.
More water! Thank you.
Got one more.
Okay.
Have you got enough?
Yeah, okay.
And here's the one I was talking about. From Coronation Street, it's Deirdre.
Oh, that was lovely. I dropped off at one point and got me grazia wet.
Oh, no!
So bad. Chris has got it bad.
Right.
I hate getting my grazia wet, do you?
Oh, that was lovely. I dropped off at one point and got my grazia wet.
This is
Scott Mills
on BBC Radio 1.
And now it's time for Real or No Real. Some of these, all made up. Some of these, true facts, true stories. But which one's which? Read out by Chris Smith off the news. Let's play. Play along. 10 Scott Mills points for everyone you get right.
Just as humans are either left or right-handed,
elephants are either left or right tusked.
Can you get left-handed elephants?
But
I'd like to say that left-handed people and elephants.
But the idea that their tusks are left or right.
Yeah.
Handed, as they put it. So they're using them for two separate things?
No.
Or can control them separately? I can't see that.
I'd like to say as a lefty myself that I hope this is true.
I just can't see it myself. I can't see what how you can control them separately. I just can't imagine it. I'm going to say in this
situation... Do you think they have like left-tusted checkbooks like you can get for left-handed people now as well?
Well, what, you mean they write their checks with their tusks?
Yeah.
I don't think this is... I don't think they can control them separately. I think it's all or nothing with tusks.
I bought some left-handed scissors recently. Do you think they have them?
No, I don't think they've got any use for them.
Real or no real?
No real.
That one is real.
Ah, in your face.
How?
And next...
They interviewed 241 snowmen and 312 snow ladies for the leading roles in the John Lewis Christmas advert.
It's a big gig.
Do you? I've not really looked at the advert in that way. Are there people inside the snow people? And they... What, and they're only their job's there just to freeze?
Mm-hmm.
Literally, just sort of just... Yeah.
You must get money for that. It's on all over Christmas.
Do you think it's a tough role?
Yeah.
And what do you think they were looking for in that kind of person? I suppose it's someone who's just very still.
Very still, yeah.
I can imagine.
I mean, they audition normally for adverts big time.
And they've got monies for these adverts, haven't they?
Yeah.
Because they're big news over Christmas.
It's like the number one one over Christmas, isn't it? The number one one.
Okay, I'm going to go real.
That one is a no real.
Oh.
Going well today, Chris. Let's just hear that again.
They interviewed 241 snowmen and 312 snow ladies for the leading roles in the John Lewis Christmas advert.
What, at what point did you think that might be real?
Well, I thought these might be people, professionals, who do this as some kind of living.
Okay, good. No.
Well, I mean, there's people who do, elves, don't they? At Christmas, that's their job.
Well, you were the one that was convinced that Pudsey the dog off Britain's Got Talent was a person.
Listen, I'm just offering a conspiracy there. There's something not right about that dog.
Next.
Statistically speaking, you are more likely to be killed by a champagne cork than by a poisonous spider.
Well, it depends who you are, because I think you, for example, are statistically more likely just because the amount of champagne that...
I do not... Right, seriously, you always say this.
Once a year.
Oh, you're always swigging the champagne. No, I'm not.
You are.
You know I'm not.
And the amount of trips to Monaco and things like that, you know.
Funny. It's Prosecco at best.
Wow.
Clava.
So, statistically, I would say no. For you, yes.
Shut up.
This question is subjective.
Okay, right.
All your trips to the bank in Monaco. And every time you go there, they open up another bottle, don't they?
Cheers to us. Shut up. Real or no real?
Real.
That one is real.
Yeah, you got one right. Let us know how you're doing on 81119 at BBCR1 on Twitter.
Studies have shown that 50% of employees are late for work on Monday and spend about 12 minutes complaining.
What?
Monday.
I'm not sure I took that stat in completely there. Can you just play it once more?
Studies have shown that 50% of employees are late for work on Monday and spend about 12 minutes complaining.
50%? Half your office?
Yeah.
I reckon it's higher on Monday than every other day, but 50% seems a bit over the top. I'm going to say not real.
That one is real.
What?
Monday, isn't it? Rubbish. Next.
It has been proven that listening to too much Kenny G causes an annoying muscle twitch in one eye.
Is he the one off of saxophones?
Kenny G?
Yeah.
You name a song.
I don't know any songs. I bet the one that doesn't speak is trying to find one now from his own personal Kenny G collection.
Trying to find a song. Is that what he's famous for then, the sax?
I think yes. Oh, here we go. This is off cassette. Do apologise for the quality. As you listen to this, let me know if your eye is twitching. If you literally switched on Radio 1 at this point, you'd be like, what the?
The video to this song I'm just looking at the moment, it's called Songbird, is amazing. He is just walking down the beach, casually saxing.
I knew he'd be on the beach.
And up a tree, and like, he's just doing it everywhere.
Like in this video, he has casual sax everywhere.
What a legend.
Anyway, real or no real, twitching the eye. Oh, actually.
Are you twitching?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go real.
That one is no real.
No. Just me then. So, at the end of that real or no real, the points for you were...
I got 20.
Yes. Well done. So that was Tuesday's show. Listen to us tomorrow at lunchtime, 1 till 4 on BBC Radio 1, another 24 years at the tap end edition at 1:45. Or if you can't listen to us live, then get this handy podcast.
BBC Radio 1. BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the